Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. In this program, we discuss your curious questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Quran and the narrations of Holy Prophet, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have the pleasure to be with Brother Miqdad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, brother.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, Brother Miqdad, we have been discussing regarding the topic that how do we encourage our children in different cultures to commemorate the events related to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So first of all, I would want you to give a little gist of what we said so far and then continue.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So in the previous episode, we talked about this aspect of culture. And we said that first and foremost, when we come to select a community to attend, a community center to attend, inshallah, we will be talking about the role of culture in that. But we said that it should be a center that has the right values, has a scholar who leads the society and the community, and doesn't neglect the needs, the primary needs and spiritual needs of the believers. And then we talked about this aspect that our social identity and the social identity that we pass on to our children should be one that is Islamic, that is one that is based on Islamic. This gives us a framework, and then the manifestation of this religion, this manifestation of how we do certain things, will naturally take shape within a particular culture. This is how Islam talks about in the Holy Quran, that we have been created like this in different tribes so that we may know each other in Surah Hujurat. And so the shape of these different things that we do in the apparent, they are shaped by the culture that we associate ourselves with. And the culture, however, is always within the framework of the religion, because the religion is the primary framework, and that is the essential part of identity. So for right. example, Islam teaches us that, let's say you have a gathering, and then after gathering, it's good to feed feed each other, and therefore you organize what we call niyaz, for example. You organize food after our programs.
The catering services. You have the catering services.
Exactly, catering services. But when you go to an Arab center, for example, you go to an Urdu center, for example, the catering will be very different. You'll be served very different food, even the not just the type of food, but the way it's served, and sometimes even the time it's served. Right. In certain culture, for example, I remember personally, we've always grown up being served food or tea or drinks after the program. However, when you come to, for example, an Iranian center, you'll be served drinks and you'll be served tea during the lecture, which is something I found very surprising. We were always accustomed to being served the tea after the program.
At the end.
So these are just differences in culture and how people do different things. But obviously, they're all within the framework of the religion. That's very key. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving on from this, what we want to make sure is that this culture is established. Now, why I say this is because, you see, we have to have a culture. Those people who claim that, oh, we should completely remove culture, it's not possible, right? In fact, this statement that we should completely remove culture and dissociate ourselves from all culture and only adapt Islam, in fact, they are usually people who live in the West mm-hmm. and who talk to people from an Arab or Iranian or African or Indian Pakistani background. And what they're trying to say really between the words is that remove your own culture and adopt the Western culture. This is what he's trying to say, that now that you live in the West, this Indian, Pakistani, Iranian, Arab, African culture is seen as something that is different from what we have today which is in the West, the Western culture, because it's seen as a stranger, as something that's different from the culture that is present in the society that you live in. And therefore, when they say remove all culture, they remove all these different cultures and adopt the Western culture. And so this is something dangerous, which I'll explain, inshallah, after
the break. Right. There's a lot more to discuss here, but we'll discuss that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic upbringing. We are with Brother Miqdad. And we're discussing different cultures and commemoration of the events of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and how can we encourage our children for that. But Brother Miqdad discussed a very important point before we went to the break. You said that when it's said that your culture differs from your religion, and this is a kind of propaganda where we are actually being told to adopt a Western culture and to avoid your own culture.
The reason why this is dangerous, because you have to remember that culture is not blank. Culture always has an ideology, values and morals that it brings with it.
Right.
See, culture has the ability to influence the way we think, the way we perceive things, the way we do things, our behavior, the moral traits that we adopt. This is very important. So if somebody were to align with a particular culture, they actually are also being influenced into behaving in a particular way based on a particular idea and worldview, ideology and worldview, and the way they perceive reality and the way they perceive good and evil. And so adopting a Western culture has this consequence, that if you were to say that I'd like to adopt Western culture, that means that you are also adopting a worldview and an ideology and morals that comes with it. So for example, in a Western culture, there is no concept of haya. There's no concept of a woman preserving her beauty, preserving her voice, preserving her herself for solely for her husband, right?
Right.
In a Western culture, a woman is open and free to do whatever she wants and be exposed to non-mahram. This is part of the culture. It's a very quite clear part of the culture. Or for example, the culture of being completely free, and freedom defined in this culture as doing whatever you want as long as it doesn't harm others, irrespective of whether this is morally good or morally wrong, or fair or unfair, or whether it has a spiritual consequence or not. These are aspects of the culture that the more we adopt this culture, these behavior, these moral traits and worldview will come into us. And therefore, what we need to do, especially for us who are sometimes minorities in these countries, we need to very closely stick to our primary culture, whether it is the Indian, Pakistani, Arab, Iranian culture. Now, that does not mean that we completely accept everything that comes from our culture. No, there's a lot of things that in our culture that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That we should get rid of, definitely. Well, we talked this in the past show, that the in the past episode, that the aspects of the culture that go against religion should definitely be removed. However, these cultures, you see, the Iranian culture, the Arab culture, the some of the African cultures, the Indian Pakistan cultures, these cultures are very much ingrained and have a very strong religious connection or religion association.
Right.
They're very much entangled with some aspects of the non-physical, non-material world, as opposed to the Western culture, which is completely devoid of any aspects of God and divinity and other worlds. And therefore, those cultures will bring about various sense. I mean, just a simple example, when you look at language, for example, in the Urdu language or even in the Iranian language or in some of the African language, you find that when you speak to an elder, there is a pronoun that is there, which is a respectful pronoun for elders, right? Because within these cultures, there is a very strong sense of respecting the elders.
Right.
Whilst in the Western culture, there's no concept of respecting elders. We put our parents in homes after the age of 50 because we don't really care about what they say. And they're actually a burden that we don't want to bear because we don't have this respect for the elders.
Right. Brother, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I am with Brother Miqdad, and we're discussing something very important. So you said in our cultures, since cultures are not blank, we should not be getting rid of everything. But yes, we should be analyzing our cultures in terms of Islamic values and get rid of all those things which are in contrast with Islamic basic beliefs.
Definitely. And so culture is very important. We need to preserve our culture. We need to have this cultural identity that we have within us. This is why, for example, the scholars stress one of the very important advice that scholars give, for example, is to preserve your mother tongue, right? Today, we find, unfortunately, that our children and our next generation have lost their mother tongue. They stick to English, and that's all they speak.
Right.
They've lost their mother tongue, the language that their parents and their grandparents have been speaking. They can't communicate. And this is the dilution of their culture.
Right.
It's a big step to entering another culture or losing this aspect, this identity that they have.
Right.
Language is extremely important. In fact, there are many studies. If you go out there, you'll find that one of the ways that...
ways of imperialism, I would say.
Yeah, imperialism, or how civilization have managed to influence another civilization is by destroying their culture, and they do this through the advent of language. So, for example, Turkey is a good example. When Ataturk came, if you know the history of Turkey, Turkish language was written with an Arab script,
right,
or Iranian script, right? When Ataturk came, he changed the script from a Arab script to a Latin script, right? And this really facilitated Turkey to be influenced by a Western ideology and a Western culture. Same for Swahili as well. I was recently listening to a scholar, and he was saying that how Swahili, which is a very probably the first or second most important language in Africa, the whole of Tanzania, Kenya speak this language. Swahili used to be written with an Arabic script.
Yeah.
Right? And then it was changed now to a Latin script. And so you realize that how these change of script leads to for the language to be changed, for the language to lose its connection with its history, its connection with this cultural aspect. And that leads to a cultural invasion, a influence at the cultural level, which has an impact on the ideology and the morality.
Right. As you were saying, it reminded me of my own language, Kashmiri language, which was written in Arabic script, but that was changed into Sanskrit. Then, anyways, you have given us all those details, and it would help our audiences, inshallah. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what? Islam says, it says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.